morning, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, church, for praying. For Maxine, for the background, and for Rob also, and for the songs. You know, sometimes as pastors, we get disconnected with people, the people we're serving. We may not be answering the questions that people are asking. We may not be addressing the problems that people are facing. In these next messages, we want to look at a question I think everyone, if you're a child of God, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have asked, or you are asking, what is my purpose? A purposeless existence is probably the most depressing thought a person can have. And that is the main idea behind euthanasia that we're facing in our society. Purposeless existence. My life has no purpose. Therefore, why prolong it? Why not end it? Even atheism, as its core, has at its core purposeless existence. You are here by chance and circumstance. There is no purpose. Just survive until you die. A friend of mine came for a visit just a week ago. He confided in me. My wife, he said, told me that she's not sure if she is fulfilling her purpose in life. Now, that sounds dangerous to a husband. I mean, she's married to me. Isn't that purpose enough? And of course, though marriage and family, children, it's a big and very important, even God-sized purpose, it is not everything. When the children are gone, when they're grown, there's more. And in a spiritual sense, that is a question we all face. Am I spending my time and energy and resources in the right places? Is this where God wants me to be? Am I being all that God wants me to be in this church, in this community, in this marriage? And even if I have found fulfillment and purpose in what we do, how can I keep my enthusiasm? And so we want to give you some solid answers from the Word of God for this question: what is the purpose of my life? Over the next messages, we want to use examples of people who at times had struggled with purpose and found themselves right where God wanted them to be. And so today, we want to begin with the example of Moses. If anybody had a life with purpose, it was Moses. Listen to what the Word of God says in his epitaph in Deuteronomy. It says, "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all these miraculous things, signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his officials, and to his whole land, for no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." What was his purpose? The purpose of Moses, given by God at the burning bush, was to bring the Hebrew people out of Egypt. Though I believe there was another purpose not stated at that time. And at first, he was reluctant, and he uses his poor speech and his eloquence as excuses. Nevertheless, God had a purpose for Moses, and he sent Moses, and Moses went. And today, God has a purpose for each of us with all our shortcomings and excuses. And that is important to see. Moses did have shortcomings, and so do we. And still, he has a purpose for us. He will send us also. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for all of us that just as the Father had sent him, so also had he sent us. Then it remains up to God to give us our purpose, and it is given to us to hear and to obey what God has given us to do. But make no mistake, God gives to everyone, and you also, if you are in the family of God, something to do. And with that purpose, he gives the ability and the gift and the power and all the resources of God to do it. He makes no mistake. But folks, listen to this. Your purpose for life, it must come from God. Look at Moses again. I believe God put in his heart early on to help his people. He had passion and he had compassion to try and rescue them. His heart had been there, but it didn't work. And he had given up. And now he was herding sheep, just as Maxine said. It was all over for him. So he thought. But not for God. God was just getting started. What about the plans and hopes of Moses? They all have to take second place. And if you are a follower of God, when God calls, you have but one answer to him. Yes, Lord. What about his rights? What he wants? Well, let me ask you, what rights do dead men have? None. And that is what you are if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by the power of the Son of God, who died for me and gave himself up for me. Your life is not your own. You used to be a slave of Satan, and you did what he wanted. Now you have become a willing slave to Jesus Christ. Henry Blackaby says in his book, Experiencing God, we ask the wrong question. We ask, what is God's will for my life? The right question is, what is God's will? God's will was to bring out the people of Israel. Moses had to change his life to fit into that plan, and God made it possible. Moses, not thinking of his own plan, had to change in his life. He had to change his career or retirement plans, not his enjoyment or pleasure. He made himself available to God and what God wanted. There's a word for that. It's called surrender. Do you want to be used by God in a God-sized way? You must be surrendered to the will of God. How does that work? Blackaby says in his book, look around and see where God is working right now and join him in that work. When you see where God is working, he is showing it to you. And it is he who has given you a passion and desire and ability to be involved. Moses saw where God was working. God gave him a passion for his people. He could have identified himself with the Egyptians, but he did not. Hebrews 11 speaks about this. It says, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as the greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses said yes to God, and then God gave him the ability to carry it out. He gave him a mouth that could speak what he was to speak, and he gave him his brother Aaron, who would also speak for him. But I believe it's not until after the people had left Egypt that we see the strong character of Moses and the reasons why God chose him as the one who would be given this great purpose. Because not only was the challenge to get the people out of Egypt, but to get them into the promised land. So let's try to understand the character of Moses as something God can so mightily use. We learned from Abe Funk when he was here last February. It is character that God is looking for, not ability. Parents, teach your children character. It was Dwight L. Moody who made famous this quote from a colleague. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man that is fully consecrated to him. And by God's help, I aim to be that man. I want to tell you today, Moses, I believe, is one who got the closest. And if we will take that character that Moses had, God can use it in us as well. First of all, I want you to see that Moses was faithful in speech. Though by his own admission, he wasn't eloquent. What he said could be trusted as true. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about Moses being faithful in all God's house. Faithful to do what? To speak all that God had told him to say. He was a faithful prophet. And folks, this is big. How many times God told Moses, tell the children of Israel this. Tell them that. And then Moses would tell them. There's only one time when Moses didn't obey what God told him to do. Except on that one occasion, all that Moses said to his people was from the mouth of God. He was faithful in speech. And I want to tell you that Jesus also was like that. He told the Jews in John chapter 8, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has told me. And you also, if you will speak what is true about God and His Word, if you will not hide the truth, but be faithful to speak whatever God teaches you from His Word, God may use you also, as He did Moses. Next, I want to show you the love that Moses had for his people. He is willing to go out on a limb to save his people. Over and over again, Moses pleads with God to forgive the people every time God listens to him. Psalms 106, it says, God would have destroyed those who saw his miracles and made a golden idol had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. And folks, that's what Jesus done for us. He's laid down his perfect life for us on the cross to satisfy the justice of God's wrath on us. Jesus has this kind of love for us. My question to us is this: will God use us for this purpose? If we have no concern, no love for our neighbors, family, and friends, that they are without Christ, I have neighbors. And I have friends. They don't know Jesus. Will God use me if I have I don't care about your eternal soul attitude? With love for people, God is able to use for his purpose, just as he used Moses. Thirdly, I want you to see Moses' desire for God himself. And not a substitute. And would you take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 33? We'll look into this scripture that Rob read earlier. The main focus of the message. Moses' desire for God himself and not a substitute. Moses here, as Rob said, in the tent is pleading for his people. And God is angry, and if you read earlier, you'll see God is so angry, he said, I'm not going with you to the promised land, but I'm going to send an angel instead to go ahead. If I go with you, God says, I might destroy you on the way. But look what Moses says in verse 14. That's Exodus 33:14. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses is not willing for a substitute. He wants God himself. Do you have that kind of burning love, a burning desire to have the presence of God in your life? Sometimes I believe we would settle for less than God himself. If God would say to you, I won't go with you, some of us would say, okay, that's fine, as long as I get to heaven. But do we really understand? It's God himself that makes heaven, heaven. It is this very God himself we can now boldly approach because of Jesus. And that is why the curtain in the temple was ripped apart by God when Jesus gave up his spirit at the cross. because we can now go directly to God because of who Jesus is and what he did. Paul understood it when he said, if I die to go to be with Jesus, it's far better. Don't settle for less than God on the way. A little boy was out playing. He was playing ball with his friends, and they went out on the golf course where he knew his parents had told them not to go. They went anyway because it was a nice place. They broke the glass on the clubhouse. As soon as it happened, the boy took off running. The other boys called out to him, where are you going? I'm running home to tell my dad. Are you crazy? He's going to whip you. I know, he said, but I know he loves me and he can make things right again. Don't run from God. Run to him. Moses had the sense to run to God in time of trouble. We're looking at some of the characteristics of Moses that make him a person God chooses for his purposes. We've seen he's a person faithful in speech, that he loved his people, and he wanted only God to go with him. But lastly, I want to show you that Moses wanted to know God intimately. And I want you to look at verse 13. Moses is speaking to God, and he says to God, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Folks, there are two ways that we can know God. We can know him by his works. We see what he does. There is another way to know him. It is a more intimate way, and that is by his ways. Not what he does, but who he is, what he thinks, God's own character. The Israelites had seen the works of God, and they were magnificent. The plagues of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the giving of manna each morning. But they didn't know his ways. Psalm 95 talks about this. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. When you see the works of God, do you go deeper? Do you look to see who God is? That is a purpose of what God has created. The works of God's hands, it is meant to draw us deeper. I mean, when we see the works of God, when we see the stars or an eclipse, we're to respond in this way. God is real. He must have made all this world. But what kind of God is he? And so those who are willing to look are drawn deeper. Moses looked deeper and asked God to show him his ways. And then look again in verse 18. He says again, show me your glory. And God, who is willing to disclose who he really is to those who really want to know, he says, yes. May I tell you, this is the difference between those who only come to God for what he can do, for what he provides, the difference between them and those who come to God because of who he is. The difference between those who use God, who are willing to use him for their own benefit, and those who truly love God for who he is. Will you look deeper? Will you seek His ways? Will you love Him? Will you seek the way of God? Then you will be seeking for Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way." God will give you purpose, and you will know the ways and the way of God, and that way is Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Would you like to know Him? You know, it says Moses knew about Jesus, though he hadn't seen Him. So much of what he said and what he did and how God used him, it all pointed to Jesus. May I tell you that just like Moses, God's main purpose for you, for me, is to use you, your life, your works, and your ways to point to Jesus. And then, like Moses, you will have fulfilled the purpose of God. Amen.